Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, September 7th, 2016, episode 12.07, the Week 1 Preview Show. Happy start to the NFL season eve. That is what I'm calling today on the eve of the NFL kickoff between the Panthers and the Denver Broncos. I am very happy. In NFL news, the Minnesota Vikings mortgage their future to win right now. But Coach Zimmer is playing it cool. Drew Brees got paid a lot. Is he worth all that money? I'll tell you about that. And he's not the only player with a fat extension. The Broncos tossed out a 3-year contract extension to a wide receiver. I'll talk about that. Plus, this week in Week 1, I'll go against executive producer Jeremy Parker as he put his Week 1 picks and himself on the line for you fans. I'll tell you all about that as I go over all 16 games in Week 1. Let's chomp it in! Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. Happy birthday to me! That's right, people. The NFL rewards me every year on my birthday by starting the NFL season. If you don't know by now, birthday September 10th, this coming weekend on Saturday, I will turn years old. And just like that, the NFL season begins tomorrow night, Thursday, September 8th. The Denver Broncos hosting the Carolina Panthers in a rematch of Super Bowl 50. We'll get to all the picks of Week 16 in just a moment, but I want to start with this NFL news. As you all remember last week, the Minnesota Vikings lost their starting quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater went down with a dislocated knee, and he tore an ACL, and he's going to be out for the season, and who knows, maybe even longer than that. So the Minnesota Vikings were looking at Sean Hill to be their starter. That was not good enough. The Minnesota Vikings made a blockbuster trade with the Philadelphia Eagles. In that trade, to get quarterback Sam Bradford, the Vikings gave up a first-rounder next year and a fourth-rounder the year after that. Now, that fourth-rounder can become a second- or third-round pick based on certain conditions. That is a huge price to pay, a first and a fourth, possibly third or second, following year after that. That is just big time, showing that the Vikings want to win right now and not wait till later. Here's my problem with that. If you just look at that, you're saying, is Sam Bradford really worth, first of all, is he really worth a first rounder to begin with, much less a first rounder and another pick? That is a hefty, hefty price to pay for a guy that if Teddy Bridgewater works his butt off, gets rehabilitated, and is ready to go for the beginning of 2017, you've given up a whole bunch of picks for a guy that you're only going to use for 1 year. Now, if you just look at that, and you're like, ooh, man, that is pretty crazy. Fortunately for the Minnesota Vikings, they got the Eagles to agree to pay more than half of Bradford's salary for this year. The Eagles paid Sam Bradford $11 million of his salary this year, and Minnesota's only on the hook for $7 million. So that's not bad. You're giving up a first rounder and a fourth rounder, potentially higher, over the next 2 years, and you don't have to pay that much. You're only paying $7 million to the quarterback. The Eagles are footing the bill for the other $11 million. That's $18 million. Sam Bradford is getting paid to play football this year. And it goes to show you what the Eagles thought of Sam Bradford, that they're willing to pay him $11 million to go play for somebody else. That's right. They said, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get up on out of here. And they shipped him to the Minnesota Vikings and paid him for the pleasure of going and playing for somebody else. I don't understand what the Eagles are doing. Obviously, getting the two picks in the draft next year and the year after that is pretty good. But paying $11 million of the salary this year, and now the Eagles announced they will start rookie quarterback Carson Wentz, a guy who suffered a fractured rib during the preseason, and they're saying, you know what, kid? It's time to start. Welcome to the NFL. Go on out there. You're going to get some hard knocks. You'll get knocked around a little bit, but you'll learn right there in the moment, playing the game. That's the best way to learn, and that's what the Eagles are doing. Let's go back real quickly to the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Zimmer, head coach, has come out and said he is not going to name the starter for week one against the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee until Sunday. Excellent. That is excellent head coaching move there by Mike Zimmer. I've always liked Zimmer. I've been a Zimmer guy all through his days with the Dallas Cowboys. He really had that defense playing well for Dallas a long time ago. I'm glad he finally got his shot to be a head coach. I really like what he's doing there and what he has done in Minnesota. And I'm sure he probably said, look, Sean Hill isn't the guy. He's a backup. He's good for a couple of weeks. I don't think we can roll all year with him. And they went out and they made this move. I'm just not sure that everything I've seen with Sam Bradford. I have tried to give Sam Bradford the benefit of the doubt. Every year I say, well, if he was only healthy. Well, if he only had an offensive coordinator that stuck around with him for a while. Well, if he had an offensive line. Well, if he had someone to hand the ball to and could run the football for him. So that always making excuses for Sam Bradford. You know what? It is it. There are no more excuses to be had. It's time to put up or shut up. Sam Bradford has got to deliver for the Minnesota Vikings. He's got some great offensive weapons. He's got Adrian Peterson, arguably the best running back in the National Football League today. He's got Stephon Diggs at wide receiver, Kyle Rudolph at tight end, Charles Johnson at wide receiver, and the rookie Laquon Treadwell, who has been looking pretty good in preseason. That is a lot of talent, and Sam Bradford has a decent offensive line in front of him, led by center Joe Berger and Alex Boone. Also, Matt Khalil is looking pretty good at left tackle, so he's got the unit in front of him to protect him, give him the time he needs. Sam Bradford has got to step up now, and if he does, the Minnesota Vikings will be not as good, but close to what they were with Teddy Bridgewater. I'm very, very interested to see how they come out on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. I'm actually probably going to take them in this game. You'll have to find out when we go over the picks. Now, time to talk about some contract extensions. Drew Brees, my brother from another mother, agreed to a contract extension with the New Orleans Saints. Brees used all his leverage, and he said, I am not going to negotiate a contract once the season kicks off. Ain't going to do it. Don't want to do it. Want to focus on the game. Want to focus on the team and the task at hand. So if the season kicks off, we're not negotiating anymore. I'm going to pull back. I'm going to play football. We'll talk about it at the end of the season. Now, New Orleans was like, we don't want to do that because if we wait, his contract is over next year. If we give him a franchise tag, that's going to have a price tag around, I don't know, something like $43 million or something crazy for one season. They obviously don't want to use the franchise tag on Brees and pay him $43 million. So they also don't want him to test the free agent market because he's going to get a pretty penny. So they decided to make a deal. Now, in this deal, Drew Brees will get $44.24 million, and it's all fully guaranteed over the next 2 years. That's right, $44.24 million, fully guaranteed over the next 2 years, and he received a $30 million signing bonus. Cha-ching! That is big-time money. New Orleans is saying, you ain't going nowhere. You're going to stay here and play the remainder of your career with the New Orleans Saints. Now all New Orleans has to do is figure out a way to get some defensive players in there to make a defense that will keep them in football games so the Brees has a chance to win again. I don't know if that's going to be possible, especially when they've paid him that kind of money. Brees, however, isn't the only one getting paid. The Denver Broncos announced, and actually John Elway tweeted out, that Emmanuel Sanders, the wide receiver, agreed to a 3-year contract extension worth $33 million, and that includes $27 million in guarantees. Wow. I mean, you paid Demaryius Thomas all kinds of money. Von Miller got paid like crazy. I mean, he made off like bank robbers when he got paid earlier this year. And now you're paying your number two wide receiver $33 million over 3 years. 27 of it guaranteed. That's a whole heck of a lot of money. And I'm not sure that Trevor Siemian is the guy at quarterback. See how I pronounced his name properly for all you guys that were tweeting and emailing, and it's Semien, not Semien. I knew what it was. I was just messing around. The point I was making by messing up his name last time was that his name, Trevor Semien, doesn't really sound like he is a quarterback in the National Football League. It sounds more like he's trying to, you know, play third base for a Major League Baseball team. That's a Trevor right there, plays baseball. I'm not sure he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. We're going to find out in less than 24 hours. That game kicks off, and Trevor Semien will have to try and prove me wrong. But congratulations to Emmanuel Sanders. That is a huge contract. He has got to perform. And I'll tell you why I don't think that's a good move by the Denver Broncos. If you look at Sanders' numbers over the last couple years, he had a phenomenal 2014. He was fantastic in 2014. He caught over 100 passes for over 1,400 yards and 9 touchdowns. That was phenomenal. But last year, he regressed. He only caught 76 passes for 1,100-plus yards and only 6 TDs. Coming back to down to earth a little bit, now you gave him all this money. Maybe he doesn't play quite as hard, doesn't play with all the passion he was playing with before. And you got to remember his 4 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers prior to those last 2 years, he didn't catch above 67 balls in either of those seasons, in any of those seasons. 67 was his benchmark. He's outperformed over the last 2 years. In 2014, he and Peyton Manning were on fire. Not so much last year. I don't think he makes the same numbers this year, and I think you're spending a lot of money for a number 2 wide receiver that probably isn't going to be as productive as he has been in his past. Enough about that. It's time to make picks. Week 1 of the NFL is here, baby! All right, before I get to the picks, I have got to tell you what's going to happen. Last year, actually over the last couple years that I've done the show solo, I've been putting up my picks against fans. I pick a fan, someone who listens to the show. They email me their picks. They tell me why they think some team's going to win, especially on the games that we differ on. And either myself or the individual fan picks a challenge game, and there you go. Didn't really get to finish all that well last year because of my injuries, and I wasn't able to play hurt last year. But the year before that, I just eked out a win over the fans. And I did beat the fans last year during the regular season. We just didn't go all the way through the playoffs. Now, that being said, this year, Jeremy Parker, the executive producer of NFL Rants and Raves, not only is he putting up his picks for week 1, which we'll get to in a minute, he is putting himself up, his body, his being, for you, the fans. This is what we're going to do. To finish the season, the regular season only, no playoffs, regular season only, Jeremy has decided to represent the fans for the challenge game. If the fans win, Jeremy's going to be over next year during the summer, and he and I will record a challenge video where the fans decide what I have to do, and Jeremy will be there as a witness for the fans. Now, if I win the challenge game, I will then punish Jeremy, and he will take it for you, the fans. So that's what's at stake this season with the challenge games. Week 1, I'm going to pick the challenge game this week, and then, as per usual, the loser of the challenge game has the option to pick the challenge game the following week. So, here we go. With that being said, Thursday, September 8th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. Oh, this is going to be a good game. Now, everybody is saying, oh, rematch, rematch, rematch. It's going to be a rematch, people. It's going to be a rematch. Well, yeah, it's a rematch of the Super Bowl, but come on. Beating a team in the regular season is not like beating a team in the Super Bowl. So everybody says that the Panthers are going to get revenge. Yeah, not really. Okay? I mean, because if you ask any Panther right now to a man, they will say, no, we much rather would have beat him in the Super Bowl than beating him week 1 of the regular season. And I think any player in the National Football League will say, if a team beat you in the Super Bowl, Do you take comfort and feel that you have gotten revenge if you beat them the next year in the regular season? And I'm pretty sure every single one in the NFL would say, hells no. Hells no. It is not the same. Because winning the Super Bowl, there is nothing else like it. And you know what? Before I get to the pick, I just want to tell everybody there really is nothing like the Super Bowl, okay? And people say, oh, Steven, you ain't never been to a Game 7 of World Series or a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals or NBA Finals game. It's like, yeah, but they've played seven freaking games, okay? It took them seven games to decide who the best team was. Can you really decide that? If they're 3-3 going into that final game, does that really make that team the best team around? It took you seven games. In the National Football League, when you get to the Super Bowl, it's one game. The intensity is crazy because there is no tomorrow. Even if, as the Panthers have this week, get to play the team that beat you in the Super Bowl, it's not the same unless it's Super Bowl 51 and you got a rematch between the Broncos and the Panthers. That's when they get crazy, and that's actually happened. Ask the Buffalo Bills. Go ask any of the Buffalo Bills of the Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed era. They went and they got smacked by the Dallas Cowboys 52-17 in the Super Bowl. And the very next year, they had a rematch. Bills versus Cowboys again in the very next Super Bowl. Now, had the Bills beat the Cowboys, that would have been revenge. Like, yeah, that was revenge for losing last year. As it was, the Cowboys beat them again. So the Bills never got to experience that sweet taste of victory. Hat tip to the Buffalo Bills winning four consecutive AFC championships to get to four consecutive Super Bowls. That, my friends, is never going to happen again, by the way. There's no one that's ever going to match the feat of the Buffalo Bills and going to four consecutive Super Bowls. But to lose back-to-back Super Bowls to the same team, that hurts. And even if the Panthers lose this, it's not going to hurt as bad as that for Buffalo. That was pretty crazy. Anyways, I like the Carolina Panthers because there is going to be a little extra added motivation. But I don't think the revenge factor is the big end-all, be-all that everyone else thinks it is. Now, Jeremy also takes the Carolina Panthers, and he says the following. Jeremy says it will be revenge for Super Bowl loss. Okay, everyone's saying that. He says the new Denver QB will struggle, and it'll be a battle of the defense, but Cam will get it late and score a crucial late score there for the Carolina Panthers. That's why he likes the Panthers. I'm going to take point number two. I want to see Trevor Siemian in live action playing against a pretty good defense. Strike that, an excellent defense against the Carolina Panthers. What is he going to do when Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders aren't open? How is he going to get rid of the football? And how is his running back, C.J. Anderson, going to do against that stuff, that defensive line of the Carolina Panthers that they flock to the football? I don't think Denver is going to be as good as they were last year. And a lot of people are saying that their defense is even better. Slow your roll, people. Slow your roll. Yeah, they got Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware is a little healthy, but I'm not sure that defense is going to be better than they were last year. They're going to be good. They're going to be good, but they're not going to be better than last year. I think they'll struggle in week one because I think their offense will struggle this week. And I don't think that the Carolina Panthers offense will struggle as much as it did in the Super Bowl. We both like the Carolina Panthers to start the season with a win and dropping the defending Super Bowl champs. All right, let's move on to Sunday, September 11th, the early games, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Now, first of all, I'm going to take a moment here to reflect that the National Football League is going to open the better part of their season on September 11th during the 15th year anniversary of a horrific attack on our country. Now, I only bring this up because September 11th, it's a day after my birthday. And I remember it vividly because I remember Everything that happened the day before my birthday was Monday Night Football. I had a party over, had a bunch of friends and family there. We had a great time, and the next morning we woke up to that tragedy. And so it sticks in my mind. I remember where I was working. I remember all the people I was with, all the people I was talking to about it over here on the West Coast, that we didn't have to go through that tragedy. But it hurts you nonetheless because your country is attacked. To all of the silly players out there in the National Football League, and I'm not even going to mention any names, but you know who you are. If on September 11th you do not stand for the national anthem to honor that horrific day in our nation, there's something wrong with you. And any message that you might try to send out, any message that you might try to give or bring focus to, is going to get lost. Because that day was pretty horrific for a lot of Americans and for the entire country. So do me a favor, put your politics aside for one day and stand for the national anthem on September 11th. I beg you, do the right thing. Let's get to your politics at a different time. Sunday, September 11th is not the time to do that. And I hope that the Jeremy Lanes of the world and Tuckers and everybody else out there who is taking up this cause stands on September 11th. I really seriously hope that you do. Colin Kaepernick doesn't play on Sunday. He plays Monday Night Football on Monday, September 12th. But there are a lot of other players out there who have since decided that they're going to do the same thing that Colin is doing. Heed my words. Don't do it on September 11th. You can do it in any other games. But on that day, that is a pretty special day. Don't ruin it and taint it with your politics. That's all I'm going to say on that. So let's start with the first game early, 1 p.m. Eastern time. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to the Atlanta Falcons. And, folks, we have our challenge game right off the bat. Jeremy says why he is taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He says the Falcons are going backwards. The second-year Bucs QB, that's Jameis Winston he's talking about, he has some good weapons on offense, and Tampa Bay have a good core of young talent. His reasons for picking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm going to flip that and say I'm not sure the Atlanta Falcons are going backwards. I like what the Falcons are doing. Their weapons on offense are phenomenal. They only keep getting better. And I don't think that Tampa defense can stop the Julio Joneses of the world and the Devontae Freemans running the football. Matt Ryan has got ice in his veins, and he is at home. If this game were in Tampa Bay, I would probably be with Jeremy and be on Jeremy's side. But there is no way that Atlanta loses at home this early in the season. Not only is it a conference game, it's a divisional game. It's against a divisional opponent. You cannot start the season losing to a divisional opponent at home. You just can't do it. Not going to happen. No way Atlanta loses. That is why I am making this the challenge game. So there you go, Jeremy. Right off the bat, I think you're going down 0-1. He's got Tampa Bay. I've got Atlanta at home. I'm liking my chances significantly with that one. All right, the next game, the Minnesota Vikings travel to Tennessee to face the Tennessee Titans. And as I said earlier in the show, we don't know who's playing quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. It could be Sean Hill. It could be Sam Bradford. But I'll tell you what, doesn't matter who the Minnesota Vikings throw out at quarterback, they will beat the Tennessee Titans. Look, the Titans are an up-and-coming team, but they've got a lot of new pieces on that offensive side of the ball. Marcus Mariota is very, very happy with Sharp, the rookie wide receiver. They have a kind of connection right now that's working for them. But once again, the Tennessee Titans got it wrong. They went out and they signed DeMarco Murray from the Philadelphia Eagles, and then it looks like they've got a running back. Then they go in the draft, and they get Derrick Henry. Now, Henry has looked fantastic in the preseason. Kid looks like he can run the football, but here's the deal. Now you've got a running back by committee, and DeMarco Murray hated that. I mean, he hated that last year when he had to do that running back by committee with the Philadelphia Eagles. He thinks he's coming to Tennessee to be the guy. Lo and behold, they draft a guy that seems pretty good to running the football, and now they've got an RBBC in the backfield for Tennessee. Won't be good. Plus, not to mention, the wide receivers are still young. They're not seasoned. They're not veterans. And Marcus Mariota is only in his second year. Minnesota's defense is no joke. They are really good. And they, like I said, on offense, they just have a lot of weapons. And if Mike Zimmer, and I think he will do this, utilizes those weapons, they'll be fine. So that's game two that we differ on. I've got Minnesota. Jeremy has the Tennessee Titans. And let's find out why Jeremy says he will take the Tennessee. He says, I think the Vikings will be okay this year, but to start the season, they're going to struggle getting over the loss of Bridgewater. And that could be the case. I just think Zimmer knows, feed AP, feed him well, and they will win running the football. All right, game number three of the morning schedule, the Cleveland Browns at Philadelphia Eagles. And lo and behold, we are both on the Cleveland Browns. That's right. Both Jeremy and I think Cleveland will go into Philadelphia and win the football game. Look, Jeremy says right off the bat, I don't think the Eagles have a QB. Well, no shit. They sent him over to Minnesota to play for the Vikings. So they're starting rookie quarterback Carson Wentz. This is a guy that didn't play a whole lot in the preseason because he had a fractured rib. He missed almost all of training camp and almost all of the preseason because he was injured. And now all of a sudden the Philadelphia Eagles are saying, but he's our guy. He's going to start. He's the man. Yeah, I don't think so. Not to mention the wide receiving core of the Philadelphia Eagles is a mess. So much so that they traded for Doral Green from the Tennessee Titans. And I don't think he's gotten a hold of that offensive unit yet. And I just think they're going to be a dumpster fire. Spoke with an Eagles fan today at the office, and she was like, yeah, my team has no hope. I'm just going to hope that they win three games, and I'll be happy with that. So that is straight from the mouth from an Eagles fan from Philly. Don't think it's going to be really good. Plus, Jeremy says, I think the Browns are heading faster in the right direction with new leadership and a capable quarterback starting under center. Okay, Jeremy, capable quarterback. Let's see how RG3 does starting for the Cleveland Browns. He's looked good, but he has a couple of moments where he's looked pretty pathetic as well. I just think that the Cleveland Browns defense is a defense that is pretty solid, and it kept him in a lot of football games last year. I'm going to roll with Cleveland, and so is Jeremy. Next up, the Cincinnati Bengals travel to New York to face the Jets. This game will be very interesting. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to have to show that he is the man for the New York Jets. On the other side of the ball, you've got a Cincinnati Bengals team who feels last year, had Andy Dalton stayed healthy going into the playoffs, they would have gone far. You already know what I think about the Cincinnati Bengals. I've got them in the Super Bowl. There's no way you get to the Super Bowl if you start out 0-1. I like the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to go into New York. They'll take care of business. Oh, and my goodness. Talk about every year. Every year, there is a group of fans for one team that takes such offense to me and the prediction that I made for their football team. And this year, those set of fans were New York Jet fans. They were not happy with me predicting the Jets being dead last in the AFC East. I got a few emails. I got a few tweets. Yes, I saw them, guys. I understand. Let's just see how the season plays out. Oh, and by the way, both Jeremy and I have the Cincinnati Bengals to win week one. That's you at 0-1. Good luck. All right. The Oakland Raiders travel to New Orleans to face the Saints. Now, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm taking the Oakland Raiders. I have seen enough from the Oakland Raiders to think they could be 8-8, 9-7, maybe even 10-6 and sneak into the playoffs. Oakland has got a pretty good offensive unit. Yes, they're young, but they showed flashes of brilliance last year, and the Raiders were actually in a lot of football games. They didn't get blown out. They didn't look bad. They were a little more disciplined. Yeah, they still made the stupid penalties like Raider teams usually do, but they were a lot better football. And I think it starts with week one with a Saints that doesn't have a defense to speak of. Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree will tear that secondary apart, and Latavius Murray will run the ball anytime it gets handed to him by Derek Carr. He will look good on the offensive side of the ball, and I think the Raiders' defense will be good enough to stop the Saints and their $44 million man in Drew Brees. Jeremy likes Oakland as well. Let's see what he has to say. He says, the Saints have no O-line to protect Brees. True. So the defense and their defense is a mess as well. True. So the Raiders are the real deal. That was simple enough. I'm with that. They are the real deal. I think the Raiders will do good things this year. We both have them beating the Saints. Moving on to a couple of other AFC West teams. The San Diego Chargers head to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. Arrowhead has not been a friend to the San Diego Chargers. San Diego has not looked good in Arrowhead for a mighty long time. The Chiefs, they're the quiet, sneaky, pay no attention to us football team that wins football games. And they just win, and they win quietly, and nobody makes a big fuss about the Kansas City Chiefs because it's just the Kansas City Chiefs. No one expects anything from the Chiefs. So the Chiefs just win football games, especially at home with that crazy loud stadium that gets very, very loud. And the Kansas City Chiefs will take care of business and start atop their division at 1-0 as they take care of the Chargers. Jeremy likes the Chiefs as well, and he says no Charger defense plus home field advantage for Kansas City. Chiefs win. So we both have Kansas City in that one. We'll move on. The next early game, there's a lot of early games. 8 early games. 8 1 p.m. Eastern time starts. That's 10 a.m. on the West Coast. That is a lot of games. The Buffalo Bills travel to Baltimore to face the Baltimore Ravens. Now, here we differ on this game. Jeremy has the home team while I have the away team. Let's see why he is picking the Ravens. He says, I believe the Ravens are going to bounce back this season. It could be close, but home field advantage should clinch it for Baltimore. I don't see it that way. The Baltimore Ravens, they're being sneaky, cutting Justin Forsett on Sunday, then re-signing him just yesterday. They re-signed running back Justin Forsett. And Forsett, being interviewed today, believes he's going to get the start at running back. That is a tricky, tricky game that the Baltimore Ravens played. Ozzie Newsome, smart, smart GM, basically like, look, Justin, we can't pay you what we're paying you now, so we're going to cut you. He clears waivers. Nobody picks him up because nobody wants to pay him that much money. And then he's like, hey, come back, re-sign for this amount, something we can pay him, something that's affordable, something that's not too crazy, and he's still our starting running back. Brilliant move by the Baltimore Ravens, but you know what? That's not going to be enough. Joe Flacco has nobody to throw the football to. When you rely on your number one being Kamir Aiken, it's not going to be good enough. The Buffalo Bills have weapons on offense and defense. The Buffalo Bills are healthy, and the Buffalo Bills are hungry. I like Buffalo to win this one. Jeremy likes Baltimore. A third game that we differ on. And the final early game, the Chicago Bears, go to Houston to face the Houston Texans. Both Jeremy and I say it's pretty easy. We both see that the Chicago Bears just aren't the team that they used to be. They're just not. They're not very good. I've got the Chicago Bears middle of the road, but not in this game. Let's see what Jeremy has to say. He says, Jay Cutler won't be given any time to do anything. And the pick of Osweiler from Denver could be a masterstroke for the Houston Texans. Interesting points, both of them. And he's right, though. Jay Cutler was beat like a rag doll last year. And I think it starts again this year. Their offensive line didn't get any better. I have no idea what they're doing in Chicago. The release of Matt Forte means that Jeremy Langford is now the starting running back there in Chicago. I don't know much about this kid. I like what I saw from him in the preseason, but didn't see much of him. So I don't know what he can do against the Houston Texans defense that has been phenomenal over the last several years. I like Houston because of their defense and because they're at home. Plus, I don't think the Bears are going to win much game. And, yes, they still have Big Mistake Jay at the quarterback position. So, we both have Houston to win at home. And that is the early part of the schedule. I am going to take a break as I bring in Jeremy Parker's executive producer spot, and then I'll finish with the late games, the Sunday night game, and Monday night game. But before we get to those, it's time for our executive producer segment. All right, executive producer segment. Right now we're talking about the San Francisco 49ers. Jeremy says, is a win everything for the Niners this week, or do you think a solid performance, even if it comes with a loss, would be a confidence booster for the team? I think a solid quarterback performance would be a big help. Look, Jeremy, look, when we get to your pick of the Rams 49er game, that's going to answer a lot of what you think of your team right now, and I'll tell you what I think of your team right now. They're not as hopeless as everyone thinks they're going to be. They do have some talent on the football field. The problem is that I don't believe that team and that talent has bought into the Chip Kelly philosophy. I think what happened to Chip in Philadelphia was a disaster. No one really bought into his style of play, and I'm not sure that the San Francisco 49ers, the team, has bought into that style of play. Look, players talk to each other, whether they're with one team or another. They talk to each other. Okay, when they're on the football field, they don't like each other all that much. But when they're off the field, the NFL is a family. It's a community. Players from different teams work out with each other during the offseason, and players talk, man. One thing I can tell you, players talk, and they will tell you what it was in one situation and how it was in another situation. And they're talking, Eagles players are talking to San Francisco 49ers players, and they're talking about Chip Kelly. And I don't believe right now a whole lot of it is good. It's just not that good. So, yeah, a win would be great for the San Francisco 49ers, but look at who you're playing, too. You're playing the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers are playing the Los Angeles Rams, and they're a big question mark right now. Whether anybody wants to admit it or not, the Los Angeles Rams have gone through a huge transition. I mean, you have to uproot your entire team, facilities, staff, players, all the personal items that you have, and you have to move halfway across the country. Your players have to uproot their families and move all their possessions halfway across the country. And then you've got to go through a crazy training camp where you've got cameras following you 24/7. That's been kind of tumultuous for the Los Angeles Rams, and I don't think the league did them any favors by putting them up to be on Hard Knocks this year. It was a lot of fun to watch. The season finale last night, very interesting. Hill, a wide receiver that everybody liked with the cute little daughter. We thought he might make the team, at least make the practice. I cannot speak. You know what? That little right there, my daughter just brought me a margarita. So I'm doing the second half of this show with a margarita in my hand just to celebrate that it's NFL, start of the NFL season eve. That's how we celebrate in the Miranda household. Dad does the show with a margarita in his hand. And so that misspeaking there. There it is. Misspoking. I'm just having a good time. I can't believe the football season is here. So I'm having a good time. Back to what I'm saying about the Rams is they've just gone through a lot this offseason. So this game might not, even if the 49ers win this football game, I don't think it's a big confidence boost. And it's not going to be a confidence boost, even if they play good, but they lose. If they lose, it's going to be damaging because they know that they've just lost to a team that hasn't been very good in this division, a division where they've been pretty good on, and now they're going to see themselves as the bottom dwellers. So I don't think this a loss to the Rams would be good for them, even if it comes with a good performance. They have to win the game for them to feel good about the rest of their season. And even if Blaine Gabbert plays really good and they lose, it's still going to be tough for them. I think Gabbert has to be great. Unfortunately, I think the Los Angeles Rams are going to bring it, man. That defensive front is tough. But Donald and then Alec Ogletree at the linebacker position, they're just tough. So I think that the Niners need to win the game for them to feel good about the rest of their season. So is there any hope for the Niners? Yes. Can they snatch a home victory? I mean, they are a home dog, and you should always fear the home dog. I just don't think that they are going to have enough talent to win this football game. So we'll see how it goes. But if they lose, it's going to be a very long season for the San Francisco 49ers. Let's finish up the picks. We'll start with the afternoon games, 4:05 p.m. Eastern time. The Green Bay Packers travel to Jacksonville. Now, before I get to this pick, I want to put this caveat out there that I believe the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be a better football team than they've been in the last several years. If you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, they haven't been very good, and they haven't won many football games. They just haven't. And it's not that they've been bad. Last year, they were in a lot of football games. They just didn't win a whole lot of them. They were 5-11 last year. And over the last four seasons, they've only won 14 games. That means in the three previous seasons, they've only won 9. That's not good. That's not good. But I think they're going to be better than that. I think they will increase their victories this season. They just don't start in week one. Unfortunately, they get a bad draw. They have to host the Green Bay Packers. Here comes Aaron Rodgers with his full arsenal complement of players. Jared Cook has looked great at the tight end position. He gets Jordy Nelson back. Eddie Lacy's come back, and he's slimmed down, and he's looking smooth. Offensively, Green Bay is going to be good. Defensively, they're looking pretty good as well. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though Blake Bortles has the two Allens to throw the football to, Green Bay was just really good last year defending wide receivers. I don't think that they will give up many big plays to Bortles and Allen Robinson or Allen Hurns. So I expect Jacksonville to lose this game. And so does Jeremy Parker. Jeremy is also taking the Green Bay Packers. He says, look, I think it's going to be a close game, but the Packers will edge Jacksonville by a field goal. Jags are an improved team, but Rodgers, Lacy, and Nelson will be much too strong. And there you go. All the names I gave you earlier, we both like Green Bay. The later afternoon games, these three games kick off at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. We start as the Miami Dolphins travel to the Pacific Northwest to play the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks coming in with a chip on their shoulder, and they are 10-point favorites. Literally the biggest line of the weekend. I like Seattle. Jeremy likes Seattle. And I think that it's going to be the start of a very long season for the Miami Dolphins and Ryan Tannehill. I just do not see how Miami goes into Seattle and wins. But, of course, we all know this is the NFL, and on any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody else, and Miami could go in there, upset Seattle, and knock out about 80% of all of the survivor pools all over the world. We'll talk about survivor in a moment. But I like Seattle. Jeremy also likes Seattle. He says, that's a heck of an opening day road trip for the Miami Dolphins. They'll play hard and keep it close, but I think Seattle will have enough for the win. I'm not sure they keep it close. I think Miami is still trying to gel on the offensive side of the ball. Tannehill's got to find a rhythm with his new guys and Aaron Foster or Jay Ajayi. Those are the two running backs that they've got to go with. It looks like right now they're going to start Foster. Ajayi was probably going to come in a little later. Doesn't matter which one of those guys starts at running back for the Miami Dolphins. They're not running much against the Seattle Seahawks. We both like Seattle. In the fourth and final game that Jeremy and I differ, the New York Giants travel to division rival Dallas to play the Cowboys. Now, Cowboys are playing Dak Prescott. And as Jeremy says, yes, it might be Dak to the future, which has been my campaign for the young kid, but he needs help from a defense to help keep score within reach, and I don't think Dallas has a defense. And you're okay to say that, Jeremy. I've been hearing that a lot. I just think that that's a common misconception about the Dallas Cowboys. They're getting a healthy Orlando Scandrick back, okay? Brandon Carr, Brian Jones, and Maurice Claiborne has looked fantastic throughout the summer, throughout training camp, and the preseason. So now you've got a pretty strong veteran secondary. Now, everybody says they're not going to be able to run stop the run. Well, they got Sean Lee back. He's healthy. As long as he stays healthy, when Sean is there, that Dallas front six or seven is really good at stopping the run. They just can't get after the quarterback. That's where I think you will see an improvement from this unit. I think they will get after the quarterback. They will get after Eli Manning. They'll make Eli Manning be happy feet, happy feet. He'll move and move and move. I expect Eli to throw a couple picks. He will become an interceptosaurus because I think that one thing the Cowboys defense is stressing is taking the football away. They didn't do so good with that last year. I think this year they'll be a lot better. They'll get after Eli. They'll pressure him to throw some picks, and the Cowboys will win at home with a young Dak Prescott and a young Ezekiel Elliott running the football. And literally it's going to be these two rookies to carry the Dallas Cowboys to victory. Mark my words. The final afternoon game and the final game Sunday afternoon, the Detroit Lions travel to Indianapolis to face the Indianapolis Colts. The Lions are a bit of an enigma. This is a team that a player in his prime said, you know what? I don't want to play for you anymore. I know you're not going to trade me. I can't force a situation to have you let me go somewhere else. So I'm just going to call it quits and hang up. And that's Kelvin Johnson. He's a great wide receiver. Now he's gone now. And I'm not sure that the Detroit Lions have filled his position all that well. They still got Matthew Stafford. He's getting a little bit older, but he's still a pretty good quarterback. Amir Abdullah will do good running the football. And the Indianapolis Colts defense isn't going to be the best defense in the world, but they will stop people. The thing that they do got is they got Andrew Luck. And everybody who was like, yeah, but he's coming back from injury, trust me, Andrew Luck is back. He's going to put up huge numbers. And as long as he remains healthy, the Colts have a chance to win a lot of football games. They'll win at home over the Lions. Jeremy also has got the coach. He thinks it's going to be a close game, but he says Luck has all his receivers. And with that, they'll win the day. So all the morning and afternoon games will hit Sunday night football as the New England Patriots travel to Arizona. Arizona Cardinals, baby. Arizona Cardinals. It's Jimmy Garoppolo time. That's right. I said Jimmy Garoppolo. Starting for the New England Patriots. First four games. And you know what? That would be okay. Except that he gets to start on the road, on primetime, national TV, against the Arizona freaking Cardinals. This is a team that defensively gets after quarterbacks like no other. He is going to struggle, and I think that's going to be the Patriots' downfall right there. They're going to see just how much they miss old Tommy B when he's not on the football field. Cardinals, according to Jeremy, have home field advantage, and that about is all they need to seal it. New England's defense will struggle to pressure Carson Palmer, and Carson's going to have a lot of weapons at his disposal. I like David Johnson now, 2 years into the league, running the football for Arizona. And Bruce Arians always has a thing or two up his sleeves. And, of course, you know how far I have the Arizona Cardinals going this year. So I'd like Arizona to start out 1-0 while the Patriots lose their first game without Tom Brady. Monday Night Football, we have a special doubleheader, two games on Monday night. The first game starts at 7:10 p.m. Eastern Time. The Pittsburgh Steelers travel to our nation's capital to face the Washington Redskins. Both Jeremy and I have Pittsburgh. Jeremy says the Redskins have no running game and little of anything else. That's pretty harsh assessment there. Matt Jones is banged up as the running back for the Washington Redskins. He has a shoulder problem, but he should be a go for this football game, at least according to everything and all the sources I've had talk about it. So I expect him to be okay. I just don't think the Redskins are very good. And I know they won the division last year, and everybody's like, you need to stop saying that the Redskins are not that good. You know what? They're not that good. They were beneficiaries of a lot of injuries to all the other teams in the division, and they took advantage. And they won the division with 9-7 record. Look, the way the NFC East is right now, 9-7 could win the division again. So I'm not saying anything too far-fetched. But the Redskins did take advantage of that situation. It showed up in the playoffs, as I knew they would. And just wasn't very, very good. Against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense that is really good, Ben Roethlisberger throwing to Antonio Brown. And remember D'Angelo Williams last year when he played a few games for the suspended Le'Veon Bell? He did fantastic. Le'Veon Bell is suspended again, so I expect D'Angelo Williams will do great again. So I like Pittsburgh to take care of business in the early Monday Night Football game, and so does Mr. Parker. Final game of Week 16, the second Monday Night Football doubleheader. The Los Angeles Rams travel north to face the San Francisco 49ers. In a game that will probably focus a little bit in the beginning on the backup quarterback and whether he stood for the national anthem or not, it's going to come down to the quarterbacks on the football field. The Los Angeles Rams decided not to start their rookie Jared Goff. As a matter of fact, Goff isn't even going to line up and suit up for this football game. He is a healthy scratch and will be inactive. That means he'll be in street clothes, and whether the Rams need him or not, he will not be available. They're going to go with Case Keenum. He has pretty much secured the starting job for himself, and unless he is god-awful, he will remain the starter for the Los Angeles Rams for quite some time. I expect we will rely heavily on Todd Gurley, as Jeff Fisher, as seen by Hard Knocks. He didn't want 30 getting hit at practice at all. So, I like the Rams. Heavy dose of Gurley, and that defense will be too much for the San Francisco 49ers. They will get after Gabbert and get after him good. All Jeremy has to say is, I have nothing to say, except this season is going to be tough. He is a San Francisco 49er. We know that now. Especially from the executive producer segments. But yeah, he's right. It is going to be tough for the San Francisco 49ers. I think more people will want to keep the Colin Kaepernick story alive just that much more because of it. Because football in San Francisco will not be fun to watch this season. All right. Those are all the picks. You can go to the website, www.nflrandr.com. That's nflrandr.com. Check out Facebook, Twitter, Instagram handles so that you can follow. I'll be making posts throughout the weekend as the games go by, as they get played, so that you can see what's going on, because maybe you're just focused on one game. I'll be updating you on many of the games. Also, signups end when the game kicks off Thursday night for the Survivor Pool. If you want to play in the Survivor Pool, get out to the website, nflrnr.com, and sign up. Once the game kicks off Thursday, I'm shutting it down. Also, I just can't host the Pick'em on my website this year. The code got changed, and it was too much for me to go through. I did not have the time. But what I've done is if you go to nflrnr.com/pick'em, P-I-C-K-E-M, nflrnr.com/pick'em, it will give you a link to go to an external site, sign up there. It has the link, the league ID for you to join in, and you could play against me and a lot of other NFL R&R fans and listeners of the show who are going to participate in the pick'em segment. If you want to get selected as a fan whose picks go up against me during the regular season, you have to join that pool. That pool will be open until the first game kicks off on Sunday morning. So go out, nflrnr.com/pick'em, to make your picks against me. So if you think you can beat me, bring it. Make sure you get out there and sign up for that league. And Survivor Pool, there is an entry fee. That's the pool where you pick one player. You pick one team. If that team wins, you move on. If they tie or lose, you're out. Once you pick a team, that's it. You can't pick them anymore the rest of the season. It's a fun league, and there's a very nice prize pool at the end of it if you're the last man standing. Okay, Jeremy and I have picked all the games. We differ on four games. I am sticking with the Atlanta Falcons. I think they'll win at home. They'll take care of business over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good luck, Jeremy. Remember, at the end of the season, if the fans beat me, Jeremy will come out here and make me do a punishment video. If the fans lose, Jeremy will still come out here, and I will be able to punish him. I cannot wait. Thank you. You've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda, and I'm out.